If you would, please stand with me as we read together Matthew 2, verses 1 through 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the peoples, chief priests, and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. When they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Lord Jesus, again, we thank you for this day that you've given to us. We thank you for the blessing of being here, of worshiping you today, praising you, and now looking into your word. As we continue our series of looking at what it means to be a seeker, we ask you today again to open our eyes, our hearts, to what you have for us. And we pray this in your loving name. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Sunday, January 5th, was Epiphany Sunday. Besides Pastor Ron, does anybody know what Epiphany Sunday was? Okay, it's the day, it's the day that the church celebrates the wise men coming to see Jesus. Now, I had originally scheduled this sermon for a different Sunday, obviously a couple weeks ago, but with Mom passing and just other things, and one Sunday when we didn't have church because of the weather and everything, it got moved to today. So this is where we kind of are with our series of looking at that, as I mentioned last week, about looking at what it means for us to be seekers as believers, and open to others who are seeking who may not be believers as a church, and open to those. Now, before we go on, there are a few things that I just want to talk about real quick and explain. First is this. We really do not know how many Magi there was. Okay? Or, depending on your version, of course, I read the NIV today. Some versions call them wise men, some call three kings, like in the song. We really don't know. The reason I say or even bring that up, you would be surprised on the number of people who actually get caught up on that little statistic or number, whatever. Well, it says there was three. No, it doesn't say there was three. It just said that some came. Now, if you think about this, even if there was three, more than likely, with carrying the gold, the frankincense, and myrrh, they weren't traveling by themselves. There would have been more people there. I mean, they would face robbers and everything, and the treacherous terrain and everything that we're talking about. Okay, is it a big deal? No. But I just want to say, we don't really know how many there actually was. Another thing is, the Magi, the kings, whatever you want to call them, we're going to use the word Magi today, as I'll explain here in a moment. They did not see Jesus at the manger. It doesn't say that. It says they came to the house. They most likely got there 1.5 to 2 years after Jesus was born. But there's been one main question I've been asked many times. I get asked about the house, I get asked about the manger, I get asked about the three and everything else. But there's been one more question that I get asked that is actually a pretty serious question. Who were they? Who were they? Who were the Magi? Where did they come from? And how did they know to even be looking for a star or some kind of constellation, whatever, to begin with? Now, like I said last week, you may remember that I began explaining my vision of looking at for the next year of being a church of seekers and open to seekers. And in today's message, we are using the example of the Magi to direct us in us being seekers as we start off with this year of looking at what it means to be a seeker. So let's go ahead and dig right in. Who were the Magi? Most likely, they were Mesopotamian priests. Now, when I use the word priest, I'm not talking about Jewish priests. Let's explain. Back in the book of Daniel, we read a story that actually has a direct relation to this story that we just read about in Matthew, in relation to these Magi. If you go back, not to Genesis, I was waiting for somebody to say it, but if you go back to the year 6, or to the century 6 BC, the 6th century BC, okay, about 600 years, give or take, BC, Babylon attacks Israel several different times, okay, eventually conquers it. They besiege Jerusalem, and they end up taking some prisoners, or some people captive, back to Babylon with them. Babylon then ends up getting conquered later on by the Medo-Persians, the Persian Empire. Okay? When that takes place, we read about how when Babylon took we especially remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We remember Daniel, because of course that's the book of Daniel, centers on them and everything. All right, so they get them back there. They start training them in the Babylonian ways. Then when Medo-Persia takes over, that continues. A lot of Americans, including like Daniel and his friends, were given positions within the government. We read how Daniel rose in his position. In those positions also was a group that were called the Magi. What the Magi were in the Medo-Persian part of it was a group of priests. That was their calling. Not Jewish priests. However, you could relate them to the Levites. The Levites in the Jewish side were set aside to be just what? Priests. The Magi in the Babylonian and Persian empires and stuff like that were set aside to be their priests of their gods. Now, if you go back and read there, it talks about the Magi and Daniel talking with them, and that they were also political leaders. That's what they were set aside for. It makes sense that those that were taken from Jerusalem, those that were taken from Israel, to have contact with this group and tell them about the prophecies made about the coming Messiah for Israel. Okay? Many believe that these descendants, that these Magi and others were descendants of Noah's son Shem, because of this is the region that he settled in, Babylon and the Mesopotamia. Do we know this for certain? No, but this is just what most likely. How did the Magi become interested in the Jewish Messiah? Is another question. Why would they become interested? Well, as I said, they would have this intermingling going on, the stories going back and forth, the prophecies, and you know, the sharing from the Jewish people to the Magi. The Magi, again, as I said, were not just our religious leaders, they're political leaders. Even some Jewish people, when they returned to, even when some Jewish people returned to Israel, many stayed in Babylon. Now, I am not saying here that the people, the Magi of the 6 BC are the same Magi that came to see Jesus. I'm saying they spread from generation to generation, just like the Jewish people shared from generation to generation about a Messiah coming. So why? Why be looking for a star? I've had several people say to me over the years, okay, that all makes sense. It makes sense that the people going to Babylon, people making sense of the Magi. But why a star? Is there a prophecy made about actually seeking or looking for a star? If you want to, go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Numbers 24, verse 17. And I'm just going to go ahead and read. This is from the NIV. I see him, but now I behold him, but not near. A star will come out of Jacob. A scepter will rise out of Israel. He will crush the people of Moab, the skulls of the people of Seth. Remember, the Magi were most likely Medes from Mesopotamia, from that region, who had been told about this prophecy. And so through the centuries, they were waiting for that sign, that star, to come out of Israel. So that's why they were looking for a star to begin with. And this is something that I've asked, you know, with Sunday school teachers when I was a kid. Well, why were they even looking for a star to begin with? Did they just raise up and say, okay, here's a new star, we're just going to go follow it? Or what was it? So there was that prophecy made of a sign that was going to be given. Now, I know history and looking at this stuff can be hard and difficult to understand. Even ask, why are we even looking at it? I think that as we look back at it, to connect it with today's story. So how does knowing these things help us as we are seekers? Well, let's look at the lessons that we can learn from these Magi that we read about in Matthew 2. So now into our next section, lessons from the Magi about being a Christ seeker. A, God gives us what we need when we are truly seeking him. In the Magi, we see that God gives us what we truly need, or what we need when we are truly seeking him. God gave these Magi insights to so many things, clear back in the Old Testament, and they were passed on from generation to generation. He gave them the Jewish people to tell them about the prophecies to begin with. He gave them the desire of searching and waiting through the years, and in searching when the time came, when they finally saw that sign, the star. God has given us his word. We have his word given to us from Genesis to Revelation. We have been shown the prophecies that have been fulfilled. We have prophecies that have not yet been fulfilled. We have been given teachers, preachers, professors, whatever you want to call them, different ones, to show us and help us in our learning. But most of all, we've been given the word of God in truly seeking Christ. So just like the Magi were given the prophecies from the people of Israel, we have been given God's word to help us in our seeking. When we have questions about who Christ is, the answers we need are in God's word and with other people helping us. But I do want to say this. If the only time that we're opening God's word is for a half hour or so, give or take an hour, on Sunday morning, we are not going to get what we're seeking. If the only time that we ever open our Bibles, look at, or hear a teacher, or worship God is on Sunday mornings, no matter how great your preacher may be, you're not going to get what you're seeking. And you're also going to be lack in your desire to seek to begin with. We can see the Magi had a desire, because you think about it, for six centuries, even though it wasn't the same ones, I get it, you know, but they passed it down, they waited. We see the Hebrew people desiring a Messiah. We see that in the same thing with the Magi. They were looking for this king of the Jews. They were desiring it. Okay? The Jews showed them, you know, gave them the word, gave them the prophecies back way back in Daniel's time, but it held true to them. Even to these guys, because they were still searching. Now, I'm not saying that they still didn't have their other gods or other beliefs, but they had something within them that they wanted to know more. If there was something else true out there. But like I said, they took the time. And if we're not taking the time, we're not going to find what we're seeking, and we're going to be lack in our seeking or even the desire if we're not spending more time than just an hour or so a week in God's Word. Because, as in B, being a seeker takes devotion. Being a seeker takes devotion. When Ezra went back to Jerusalem from Babylon, it took them around 4 to 5 months. Remember, the Magi probably had a good-sized caravan going with them. They would have had animals. They had other people with them. They would have been traveling with the gold and the frankincense, as we talked about. They would have to face the robbers, the dangerous terrain. But they were devoted to get where they wanted to get, where they felt God was calling them to. They had to walk around, give or take a mile, a little over 1,000 miles over the rugged terrain. And it wasn't just a straight shot. They had to go up. The normal route would have been up and then come back around. It wasn't just across that big desert, okay, when you look at the map. When they saw that star, they would have to make preparations. I don't think they had a warehouse full of food and water. Okay, if we see that star today, we're going to go today. So when they first saw the star, it would take time to get everything together. For instance, when you go on a trip, is your garage packed full? Is your car packed full of the stuff that you're going to take on your trip with you right now? Are you packed yet to go? Never mind, you're not going to be a good example then. How many of you pack a week before you go on a trip? Besides Pam. How many of you wait till the night before? And this is when you know that you're going on this trip. You see what I'm saying here? There had been time to get things ready. The journey would have been treacherous, dangerous, to say the least. But we see them doing what? We see the devotion that they had. It's going to take devotion for us as seekers. How many times have you had a question about or for God? How many times did he answer it instantly, just as soon as you asked him? How many times were you told to wait for the answer? Yeah, sometimes he tells us yes right off the bat. Sometimes he says no. Sometimes he says wait. Sometimes he'll say, you got to work to get to the answer. So it takes devotion to be a seeker in our life. Being a seeker means following God's plan and forgetting ours. How many of us adults thought that at age 16, 17, maybe even 18, thought that we would be here at our age today? I can say we never thought of it. Now, maybe if you lived in this area the whole life, okay? But how many thought that you would be where you are in life, where you are today? But at age 16, 17, 18, you had your whole life already planned out what you wanted to do or where you were going to be. Anybody have that? They had certain goals that they wanted in life, and there's nothing wrong with that. I've shared with you, I never thought at 16, 17, 18 that I would become a preacher. Many people did think I would become a preacher. Many of my friends never even, thought that or whatever. Where we are in life right now is probably a lot different than what we thought of or what we envisioned back in the day. It says in Matthew that the Magi came to Jerusalem looking for the King of the Jews. But why would they come to Jerusalem? Have you ever wondered about that? I mean, they had this star guiding them, God's star. The star should have gone where? Where was Jesus when we finally end the story? Where was he at? Bethlehem. The star should have gone to Bethlehem. So why would they go to Jerusalem? We're not necessarily told. When you read there, in some versions it says that the star reappeared when they left Jerusalem. So we get the idea that possibly, we don't know for sure, this is just kind of what we're looking at it, but maybe for some reason they were looking for what? A king. Where would the natural order of things, where would the king be? Jerusalem. So they saw the star, maybe, just maybe, they said, ah, there it is. We got the star, it's a sign. Let's go to Jerusalem. I don't know if I got the direction right, but you know what I'm saying. And they get to Jerusalem, and they start asking around, okay, where is the king of the Jews? Where's he been? Where's he at? What's going on? And nobody knows anything, because nobody there knows anything about this king being born. They don't know what's taking place down in Bethlehem. But they had that preconceived idea on where, what they thought were the king or the one born of the king or the Jews would be. They also had the idea that everyone would know that their king had been born. You know, when you get there, you know, when you go to a destination, you expect people to kind of lead you where you got to go. Like if you're going on a plane or on a ship, right, Pam? You're going on a ship, right? Okay? You kind of hope that the pilot or the captain of the ship knows where he's taking the ship. Right? You kind of hope that he knows what he's doing. You also kind of hope that the people that's going to be helping you out on the ship can kind of direct you where to go on that ship. Right? Okay. They probably thought, okay, the people know that this Messiah is being born. They're going to know where he's at when we get to Jerusalem. And nobody knows a thing. Okay? You see what I'm saying here? They were taking their own preconceptions, their own ideas on where the king would be. And God says, I can see God up there saying, guys, you're not listening. You're not doing what I want you to be doing. I mean, a lot of times we do that, even trying to serve Christ. We have our preconceived ideas of what we want to do in serving Christ. But when we're truly going to seek him, it means we are going to follow his plan, not our own. Not everyone is going to be supportive or thrilled about us being seekers of Christ. Not everyone is going to be supportive or thrilled about us being seekers of Christ. When I first told some people that I was thinking about going into the ministry, I had one certain one. Now, she's apologized since this all happened. But I had a family member of our church, where I grew up, who came up to me and says, you have no business even thinking about being a pastor for everything that you've done. So yeah, we get that negative. Some of our friends, if you think about it, if you think about back in the day when you first became a Christian, if those people didn't become Christians, how many of you are close today with friends from back in the day? Even though they're not Christian. It may happen, I get it. But most likely, some things have changed in who we have friends with and just different things. You know, I've talked with many people who, when they first decide, okay, I'm going to accept Christ, or I'm going to go into the ministry somehow, or I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, whatever, for Christ, I'm going to seek him out, truly seek him out. And their friends left them. Wouldn't have anything to do with them. Oh, you're a Mr. Goody Two-Shoes, or you got this, you know, and they just leave them out of everything. Friends and family who do not know the Lord, even some who do, will often ridicule someone when seeking out Christ, and there's two main reasons. They themselves don't believe, so they get worried or jealous when we start to devote ourselves to something that they're not involved in, or they choose to hold our past against us. Those are basically the two main reasons. You know, when the wise men got to Jerusalem, not only did not everybody know what was going on, who got scared? Herod. Wait a minute. King of the Jews? Wait, what are you talking about? He wasn't even necessarily a full Jew. What is the king? I'm king around here. There better not be anybody born king without me knowing it. Nobody's going to take my position. The scaredness got to him, causing jealousy. And then, here, of course, we know the story of how it took place. So he wasn't exactly supportive of the wise men looking, or the magi looking, for this one who had been born king of the Jews. The people got all worked up and everything about what was taking place. But we do see in this story, seekers are rewarded in their seeking. Seekers are rewarded in their seeking. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." So the Magi, they come up and they start asking around, you know, in Jerusalem, "Where's the king of the Jews?" Don't know what you're talking about. So Herod gives all his priests and everybody together and say, "Okay, where's he supposed to be born?" "Well, he's supposed to be born in Bethlehem, according to prophecy." So Herod sends them to Bethlehem. Tells them what? "Go find him, come back to me, tell him where he is, so I can come worship him too." We'll get more on that here in a minute. Okay, so as I said there, it talks about when they left Jerusalem, the star reappears, leads them to Bethlehem. What happens when they get to Bethlehem? They find what they're looking for. This says the star stopped over where the house was. They go in. Jesus and his mothers are there. Jesus and his mother are there. They have been rewarded in their seeking. Their prayers or whatever, their desires have been answered. You go back to that verse we just read, Matthew 6:33. "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." What things? What's he talking about? Well, if you go to the verses before 33, you'll read about Jesus talking about how sometimes we worry about what we're going to get tomorrow, what we're going to eat, what we're going to drink, what clothes we're going to wear, if we're going to have this, we're going to have that, or whatever. And in the verses before those, Christ talks about loving others, treasures up in heaven, our prayer life. And Jesus is saying that when we truly seek him, we get his righteousness. And all these other things that sometimes we get worried about as well. In other words, he takes care of our basic necessities. And even sometimes gives us the things we desire. But he takes care of us when we seek him. I think that sometimes we forget that part. Well, God's promised that he's going to take care of me. Yes, he has. When we do what? When we seek him. That's what that verse says. To me, anyway, that's what that verse is saying. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given you as well. And seeking Christ requires worship and giving to Christ. It requires worship and giving to Christ. When the Magi got into the house, what did they do immediately? Fell down and worshiped him. What did they do then? They gave him their gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The gold, of course, is kingship. The frankincense, anybody know what the myrrh was for? It was burial perfume. Okay? But they immediately fell down or bowed down and worshiped him. Their lives were forever changed. Now, we don't know what exactly happened after. We know that the way they were planning on going home didn't take place. And that brings us to our last part. Seeking Christ will create a change in direction in our life. Seeking Christ will create a change in direction in our life. Okay, so the wise men, they get there. They do their worshiping. We're not told how long they're there. But when it gets time for them to leave, they're planning on going where? Back up to Jerusalem and then back home, right? Because they had agreed to Herod, okay, we'll come back and tell you where he's at. And they're warned through a dream to do what? Don't go to Jerusalem. Don't go to Jerusalem. And they go a different route. They go a different direction. And that's how Christ works in our life. When we truly seek Him, listen to Him, and obey Him, our lives go a different direction. Sometimes in what we had planned on, or especially the way we're headed, He changes it. When we truly seek Him. Because when we truly seek Him, when we truly seek Him, our hearts are changed. When our hearts are changed, our mindset is changed. When our mindset is changed, our actions change. And if our actions have not changed, if we're still doing things that we know that are against God's word, we have to ask ourselves, are we truly seeking Him? We have no other choice but to ask ourselves that question. If we're still doing things that we know the Bible says, don't do this, and we go, I'm going to do it anyway, we have not changed. And we are not truly seeking Him when we have that attitude. And I stand here and tell you, as a person that's been there and done that, and still will do that at times, I don't want to be like that. I don't mean to be angry. I'm not angry. I don't mean it like that. But if we are truly going to be a church of seekers, and a church open to seekers who don't know Christ, we've got to be willing to say, hey, I've messed up. I don't want to go down this path that I'm going. If we're going to help others not go down that path. If we are truly seeking, it's going to show. If we are truly seeking, it has to show. Let's pray. Lord, again, we do praise You and we do thank You. We thank You for being with us today. We thank You for calling us to be seekers. We ask You to help us as we look for the next year, what it means to be a seeker, that You would just speak to us and be with us and just to touch us and guide us. We pray these things in Your loving name. Amen. Before we sing our song, in Revelation, it talks about how Jesus is at the door and He's knocking. And if you look at the pictures on that, where's the handle? It's not on the side that Jesus is on. It's on our side. And as seekers, we have to be willing to open the door to come to Him for salvation. We have to be willing to open up the door and let Him come into us as seekers or wherever we are in our spiritual life. It's not just salvation. It's about every step of Christ in our life. So today, we're going to sing a song called Since I Opened the Door. Let's stand.